As long as the great, powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. As we have already explained, the personality of Kali had entered the jurisdiction of this earth long ago, and he was looking for an opportunity to spread his influence all over the world. But he could not do so satisfactorily due to the presence of Maharaj Parikshit. That is a way of good government. The disturbing elements, like the personality of Kali, will always try to extend their nefarious activities. But it is the duty of the able state to check them by all means. Although Maharaj Parikshit allotted places for the personality of Kali, at the same time, he gave no chance for the citizens to be swayed by the personality of Kali. In the Bible. As long as the great, powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. Here we're describing the glories of Maharaj Parikshit. How he was the, will be and was the ideal king. So here he's saying that he was such a perfect king, such a powerful king, that Kali couldn't raise his head. And the citizens would not be misled. So that is a duty of the state. Already everyone is born in ignorance, except my scripture. And so Krishna, before the birth. But generally everyone is born in ignorance. We all have this tendency to be the Lord, try to lord it over the material energy, even though we are helplessly bound hand and foot. But that desire to be the control the situation and thus enjoy the happiness that we're so anxious for, being our natural constitution is Ananda, and now we're feeling a great lacking because that Ananda is not being felt. So subconsciously we're always hankering for that, as well as eternity, that feeling of eternity, that fearlessness, and also knowledge. So with that, with the absence of those, that is due to the covering of maya, avidya, forgetfulness of the Lord. Then we're placed into this material energy. It's very, very complex. Very, very difficult to overcome, Krishna says. Krishna's energy, he has arranged how it works, and it's exceedingly difficult to understand what is actually going on, what this material world is, even from the Vedas, it is very difficult to understand. In the third canto, it explains in the creation, beginning from Lord Brahma. Brahma is empowered by the Lord to create Brahma is the first person born directly from the name of the Lord. He is also Aja, unborn. He has no mother. So he creates the different bodies for the living entities. So he creates from different parts of his body the prajapatis, those who will fill up the universe. So he creates the Rujas, Narada, Kumaras, others. Some of them, they don't want to be prajapatis. They think that it's too troublesome. They just sit and meditate on the personality of Godhead. Because practically these people are uncontaminated. It's the first, of course, it's the first time into the material universe, at least as far as the storyline goes, as far as this creation goes. As Brahma was a little disappointed that it wasn't happening fast enough. He was ordered to populate the universe by the Lord. He was a little anxious that it wasn't going fast enough. And then from his anxiety, because of his anxiety, there came from his body two persons, a male and a female, which starts the genealogical dynasty as we know it. It was Swayambhuva Manu and Sruti Rupa. So they manifest directly from Lord Brahma's body. And they began to procreate, and then they began to produce all the sages. But just before the living entities came in, that Lord Brahma was creating the conditions of this material world. So the first thing that were created were what we would say were the negative things. The condition of forgetfulness of who we are, forgetfulness of the Lord. The tendency to identify with the body. Anger arising from frustration and other things like that. So that is, it's actually a troublesome place already, before you start. Krishna confirms that in Bhagavad Gita. So it's a difficult situation. Then all of the activities from the living, from the material nature, including the body, they're all carried out by the modes of material nature. Those modes of nature seem to have an existence of their own, a mind of their own, because Krishna says these three modes of nature, they're all struggling for supremacy against each other. So sometimes it's sattva is prominent, sometimes it's raja is prominent, sometimes tama is prominent. So the constant fluctuation. So really, when the mode of goodness is present, it means clarity, knowledge, happiness, a sense of happiness. Passion means desire for creation, to do something, to achieve something, and the result is distress. And ignorance means lamentation, sleep, intoxication, laziness. Don't worry, too troublesome, everything is too troublesome. Ends in pain. Then above that there's Kali, who is determined to upset even the good things, which are mentioned there, how to get out of this mess. That is, Krishna is giving the dharma, how to live in this world, satisfy your senses to, at least so you can be satisfied to a certain degree. So the limited, restricted sense gratification allowed. And there will be also purification, that is dharma. You mentioned, Prabhupada mentioned it yesterday, said Prabhupada the day before, that dharma is a transcendental method by which we can approach the transcendence of the transcendental Lord. So it is a, dharma is a path, it is something to be followed, it is an activity. So then, but then to practice that in Kali Yuga, in any yuga, well, especially Kali Yuga, it wasn't difficult in Satya Yuga because it was everything predominantly it was the mode of goodness. But here in Kali Yuga, it's predominantly now as passion and ignorance mixed, and it goes more and more towards ignorance as time goes on. So we become more and more bewildered, mistaking the right, wrong for the right. So this Kali, maybe he's a fictitious character, maybe analogical, that this personality of Kali, whether he's a personality or not, it seems more like it's allegorical. That because the Maya's business is to keep us captivated. So her business is merely to absorb our attention. And she's expert. The yoga maya, her business is to assist us in service to Krishna. But as when she appears as Mahamaya, her business is to absorb our attention and in the pleasures and pains of this world. And that's all that everyone does. Everyone is completely bewildered by these two things. You say 99.9% of the population. Not an easy thing. So you can say those are all agents of Kali. But when Maharaj Parikshit was ruling, he was such an ideal ruler that there was no scope for Kali to enter. You know, he gave those, even those four places to reside. Kali wanted four places to reside. He said where there is illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, he can reside in those places. But he said in your kingdom there's no such places, you're such a strict ruler. According to Shastra, that means according to the mode of goodness, then these acts are forbidden. Because they destroy the qualities of compassion, cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity, which are necessary, because actually one has to be austere. We come in here, the desire is to enjoy the material energy. So everything's against us. This is a real struggle to try to just to maintain status quo, so there's no suffering. Just to keep everything at bay, the modes at bay. It's a hard struggle to do that, and it takes most of your life, most of the day. Before we can be peaceful to think about enjoying. So that's how it is, and it gets more and when these good qualities go from the human being, then it gets more and more difficult. You need a peaceful environment. It's much easier to practice spiritual life in a peaceful environment. That means the material energy is not so ferocious in the mode of goodness. When the mode of goodness is predominant, it's not so ferocious. I think that's a nice side of material energy. But the mode of ignorance is very bad. Just like when a person becomes intoxicated, there's no common sense generally. You see a person drunk, you can't have an intelligent conversation. whatever they want to do, they think is right. There's no question that the intelligence is completely bewildered in that intoxicated state, and they will do anything, say anything. There's no point in trying to have an intelligent conversation or trying to direct them. It's a waste of time. So, because that is tamoguna. So, in Kali Yuga, then tamoguna becomes permanent, becomes more and more prominent. So what is the hope for the living entities? So at least, the government should try to keep Kali away, the elements that that will promote this degraded age of Kali. As Prabhupada said, the yuga more or less depends on the king's management. If the king can manage, make everyone follow the Dharma, he said, then it will change, the yuga will actually change. You go back. If you think about it, it's quite logical that if everyone follows Dharma, then everything will be nice. Right? Everything will flourish, everyone is in harmony with the Lord's program, they're following Dharma, then all the natural opulences will come. You want to struggle so hard for a living, just like you're doing in Satya Yuga. No struggle. I think the situation was very pleasant. So it's only the consciousness of the living entities that actually bring this into effect quickly. Of course it's going to degrade, we know. From Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga, the cycles go on. That's not going to change. But the hellish condition, that can actually be changed. Of course it's relative, but the hellish condition can actually be stopped if everyone actually follows Dharma. But obviously it's very difficult in Kali Yuga to... So even the beginning of Kali Yuga, we're 5,000 years into Kali Yuga. You see what a situation is now, it's very bad. See, the state aren't pious people. Superficially they may supposed to be pious, but they're actually demoniac. Because they're actually supporting these illicit activities, these adharmic activities, right? This is sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. They actually sponsor those. They support those. Gambling, they're supporting. They give you licensing for intoxication, alcohol. Right? They're getting their tax from it. So they're actually sponsoring, they're actually propagating, condoning. It's okay. It's not illegal. As long as you're, but you can't buy it unless you're 18 years old or something like that. Some restriction is there. See, we're pious people. We won't let the kids buy intoxication. So a little piety is there, you see. But what are they doing? From that, all the quality of compassion will go. People become intoxicated, deluded. Illicit sex, they're promoting contraception and abortion, legalized, promoting, that means they're promoting illicit sex. Otherwise, why does somebody want to stop a child? And gambling, they're also supporting, they're giving licenses to the casinos. Maybe even, I don't know in India, but in the West they support what they call the meat industry, because actually it's uneconomical to eat meat. So the government give money to the meat industry to keep the prices down. So you see, they're actually supporting the Kali, agents of Kali. But externally they oppose us, religious people, some of them. The honest ones will say, no, we're communists, we're atheists, we don't believe in God. Yes, they're honest. The other people say, no, we're religious, but they don't follow. So they're hypocrites. It's actually worse. Actually worse, because they're misleading the people. Simply getting the votes of the pious people, but they don't put the religion into practice. You have to practice the Dharma, and they don't see that everyone's engaged in karma. It has to be there. People have to engage in it, because there's a scientific process. One has to engage in active Dharma. That is a transcendental method for reaching the transcendence. But they don't know. So even the religionists become bewildered about what is actually Dharma and what is not Dharma. I just came from South India in Madras. They had a Sarva Dharma Sammelan. That means all the religions come together. They have these all the time. Sarva Dharma, Sarva Dharma Sammelan. That was sponsored by a very wealthy man in Chennai. And so Banaswamy was, they asked Banaswamy to represent, but he was sick, so he asked me to go instead. So the religion sitting around the table in this hall, and I guess there was about 20 religious heads. It was Qazis, Muslims, priests, Buddhists, Mayavadis, Gaudiya Sannyas was there, Jains, Brahma Kumaris, Kanya Kumaris, all of them. But the theme was how to elevate the people. In other words, what we can do to, Dharma can do to help people out of economic distress, usual thing, poverty and illiteracy. If we eradicate them, then that'll be very wonderful. They all had times to speak. I couldn't wait to get my own. But and also they were criticizing the government, how the government interfere with just using their inciting communal riots. What happens in Ayodhya is, it's very bad. It's all the government's fault. These rascals, these fellows should stay out of religion. They should keep away. So many. Anyway, we have a few minutes. So I mentioned that the conveyor was very observant. And the fact that it was mainly due to illiteracy that people were suffering, which is a fact, it's due to ignorance that people suffer. But I mentioned it has to be a spiritual education. It's not just material to make people literate. Because if you go to the countries in the world which are literate, they have big social problems. Big social problems. There's no poverty, there's no illiteracy. Illiteracy. But what is happening in those places, the people are still not satisfied. Still not satisfied. They can't keep, you can't keep a husband or a wife, 50%. That means half time you can't eat. They're not satisfied. Why they're not satisfied? I have to change. Drug abuse. Why are they taking drugs? Not satisfied. And the general morality. In some of those advanced countries, there's big problems. especially with the children. They don't know what to do with the kids. They're not teaching Dharma. So I said, even if you get that, even if you eradicate poverty and illiteracy, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be nice. And your communal, as of course, but those the communal, who is writing? They're our men. They're your men, they're my men. If we're supposed to be leaders, it's our men are fighting each other, it's not anyone else. So that means they should be educated. You, charity begins at home. You should preach to your old people. Why are they fighting? Because for another religious denomination. And why are they being influenced? The government may be influencing, stirring it up, or somebody, anti-socials. but your members should be so fixed up that they won't worry about that. We have our Dharma, we follow that. Let others follow. Why should we? I mean, the conclusion was, and I think it's already prearranged, that somebody said, why don't we, when we have a religious festival, we should invite other faiths to that festival. And then when they have a religious festival, then invite us and we'll go there. Yes, very good, very good. So that was going to be the conclusion. That's what we left early. The bodies took me away. But then the press were there and the cameras were there, and then they were going to have a vote. I said, please stay, only half an hour, we're going to have a vote. Your vote is essential. I said, well, they said, well, the Swami has a very important engagement. Prashad was waiting. But you can come just by email and we'll... But anyway, there was another session. That was... I think they wanted everyone to agree on... I think it's already prearranged. But they wanted everyone to agree on this and sign on it, and then there was a second session in the afternoon, which another devotee went to. Religious community, how can we enforce one Dharma? No, Prabhupada said, you don't have only one Dharma. Everyone must follow Dharma. Let them be judged by their own particular Dharma that they follow, but everyone must profess a Dharma. Just like we heard the other day from Gauramanga Bhumi, who is serving in Thailand, he said everyone has to have be religious there. Still they do that. Everyone has to follow religion. And people say they're not religious, they get laughed at. So the government should force people, because people are foolish, generally, in ignorance, by nature. Therefore, Krishna says, he imparted this knowledge to the saintly kings, the Raja Rishis. They're supposed to administer this knowledge, or at least they're supposed to enforce that the people following Dharma, not that they have to know everything, but they should have a good idea. So Prabhupada said, not that you should know. He said, how can we do it? Multicultural religion, multi-religious society. He said, no, you have the experts there. In other words, counselors, brahmanas, those who know the Dharma of that particular thing, then they'll give you help, they'll tell you the advice how to. You have to know everything. You don't have to be saints yourself. You know. So they shouldn't be away. You shouldn't be different. They should be there. But you fellows should be advising them. But first you practice yourself and get your followers to practice the Dharma. But how can you blame anyone else? If you're fixed up, how will you be misled? You have your Dharma, you'd be satisfied with that. I don't think anyone in the meeting would have disagreed that whatever Dharma they profess, whatever religion they profess, I'm sure their belief is that if everyone was doing what we do, there would be no problems in the world. Right? It would become like heaven, paradise. If everyone follows the Dharma, whatever they, even the Buddhists or atheists, I'm sure that that's their philosophy also. If everyone follows Dharma, then there'll be a peaceful situation. So they wouldn't. So the essential thing is to get people to follow Dharma. You're not hitting the problem on the head. They wasn't broad-minded enough to see that. At least some of them were speaking. So they were just harping on these political issues and the social issues. But they're all due to not following karma. So that's where one should start. Huh? Why, if you're not, then follow dharma. At least you're going to stop the problems in the future. You start now. So I don't know what the outcome would have been, but I guess if we was to something like that to work, and those upadharmas who practice upadharma or sub-religious principles, they're concerned about the people are hungry. But naturally, it's only human decency just to give food if someone's hungry. But those who are really concerned, if they don't see much further than that, then let them do the hands-on, let them distribute, let others collect for it. Those are more religious, let them preach to them, to tell them why they're suffering because of impious activities, because they're not following Dharma. And let us go and give spiritual knowledge. That's where you could actually harmonize, give everyone, designate everyone to do it, play a different part. But just coming together and over a festival, it can be embarrassing anyway. We're not going to eat their food. They're not going to let someone in their temple. And then it's going to be embarrassment, isn't it? What's going on? You're refusing our food? How are you going to do it? Let them follow. You got their own. You follow that. You'll follow this. But somehow or other, we have some common goals. And designate those people who are going to do that. Don't expect that everyone, as Prabhupada, when he was meeting with someone that was going Sikh yogi, he says, "So look, your Govinda Singh, the Sikh guru, he accepts Krishna, he accepts Govinda, he chanted, yes, oh no, it's Guru Nanak, you see what he chanted, so why not, if you say it's all one, then what difference does it make which one you follow? So why not all accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And we use it, we'll all chant Hare Krishna and follow this Dharma. It shouldn't be any problem if it's all one." So this is our proposition. You do it. They'll just talk and they'll go back and they'll do it so no one will change. But there shouldn't be any objection if it's all one. Right? It doesn't matter, Jatamachatapa, any part. So why not chant Hare Krishna? One book, one mantra, one God policy. But they're not there. Kali Yuga, age of disagreement, age of quarrel. Why yours? Why not mine? So the meetings will go on, but it is actually up to those. They should teach. You have to teach the people Dharma, otherwise the people are putting the government in. It's our members, our congregation that are voting. Simply have to educate them. And they won't vote for a fool, won't vote for a dharmic a leader. They'll vote for a dharmic leader, then they'll have to comply. Yeah, it's possible, but yeah, you have to start. Charity begins at home. But in any case, this our path of bhakti is so nice that even amongst everything is negative, we have something very favorable. We have something very nice in it. Whereas all the others, practically speaking, they just have some relief. Most of them, the impersonal, they get some relief. They find some shelter in this. They get some peace. But in the path of bhakti, you actually get great happiness, great bliss, by hearing and discussing the pastimes of the Lord. Of course, to get great bliss, we have to be a little more advanced. We get appreciation, attraction for the Lord, which will happen by following. the particular Dharma, or following the transcendental method, that will, that means you're in contact with the transcendence, and that will lead you to the transcendental goal, which is a love of Krishna or affection for Krishna. So we get to hear about Krishna's pastimes and how he deals with his devotees, with his Krishna's mentality. So we'll be it's very nice to hear those things. It's very pleasing to the heart. The heart melts at the wonderful personality that Krishna is. The more we hear about his personality, then the more we actually appreciate what a wonderful person Krishna is. Then Prabhupada said, eventually then you fall in love with him. So it's more positive than the, because in the other, even if they're personal religions, which you can number on about two fingers, they have no idea of the personality of Godhead. They have no idea. No description. How the Lord acts. What is the activities in the spirit? No idea. So we got a whole wealth of not only refuge, but pleasure and comfort, knowing that we can actually go back and join in that program with all those perfected living entities. Enjoy their serving great pleasure serving the Lord in any of the spiritual planets that we desire according to our mood, according to our heart. So it's a very vast, this personal aspect of God in different features of his personality is very vast. So that's something much greater than anything is offered outside of the Vedic concept. Even within the Vedic, the impersonal concept, which most of them, then they take little bits out of. It's like some of the groups there were almost like New Age. You can see how the New Age things have come from, originally from Shastra, the Ashtanga Yoga process. How many groups have come out and taken off parts of the breathing exercises from Patanjali, and developed it in their own ways and made their own things. Many. their worship is spiritual. There's one very popular person, Ravi Shankar. He has the art of living. He's very popular amongst young people. And they target young people between 23 and 29. They actually target these people. He's not so popular in Calcutta. They hired the Netaji Stadium, but it wasn't very successful. But in South, he's very popular. North and abroad also, very popular. Apparently he used to do programs with Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And he came to do a program in Coimbatore. There's a big expo place out in the middle of outside of the city. So our temple happens to be next door to that. So when he heard the temple was there, so when they asked him where he's going to stay, he said, I only want to stay in the ISKCON temple and eat there for it. So he was there, and he was with the person that was with him during the day, and he went to the show in the evening, and he said, boy, he's really charismatic. He said that he had the people going wild. He's a real psychologist. He just says that things, just to hype them up and get them right up there. He said, and he gets them up there and then he drops in a few tasties. He says, and they go wild. And he's out with his long hair and his flowing robes, and they got a catwalk out into the audience, and he's going out there and there's strobe lights and there's music, and he said, they're going wild. I said, what did he say? He said, he didn't say anything. I said, he must have said something. He said, he didn't say anything. I said, come on. He said, breathe. What was he? He says, do bhajan and also things like that. He's got his arm there looking. But let's get it. Let's put it under help, not take him as a spiritualist or something like that. They're immensely popular, these people. Immensely popular. And there's dozens of them. So they're taking, they generally take a little bit of the Vedic thing, and then they translate it and modernize it and popularize it. And then it's not too strict, you don't have to give, you know, it's not fanatical, you don't have to be one-pointed, you can, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Everybody, that's what they want in Kali Yuga. What was it, cheaters and the cheaty? They want something cheap, so the cheaty comes along and gives them what they want. Anyway, someone should be one class of person to put everyone in their position. This, you know. Dharma, Artha, Karma, Anamoy, Pranamoy, Gyanamoy, Vigyanamoy. Categorize everyone like that. At least the leaders of society should know. There should be some, they should have some learned people there to tell them exactly where, what result of these different things are. But they should also be educated themselves. But anyway, this is what you're up against in Kali Yuga. Still, we, for ourselves, and we have Krishna's pastimes, we have his name, fame, quality form, we have his deity form, we have service to Krishna. So we absorb ourselves in that. And then we won't have any problem will go on anyway. When we're here, when we go, the problem will still be here. But we'll leave the problem behind. As much as possible, we'll try to give Krishna's name, fame, qualities, pastimes, etc. To anyone. Anyone who's interested. That is our mission. But without a king like Cricket, if there was a king like Cricket, it would be very... It'd be a lot easier, our work. Jai Sri Ramabhatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Jai Gopalandi. Any comment? Yes, ma'am. How come the innocent are as blameless? Blameworthy. No, they're not. They're not as blameworthy. They don't. It's not as bad as a cheater. The innocent people, because they're innocent. It's ignorance. But the others, the cheaters, are actually apparatus. They know they're mistaken. That means they may even know the truth, but they're out to mislead the people. So they suffer more. They're more culpable because they're actually misleading the people. There'll be a greater suffering for them. But Krishna says two classes. He says the devas and the asuras. And he categorizes everyone into the that means we, anyone who's not a deva is an asura. But generally, people are innocent. They don't, you know. It's all they know. You're born like that. You're born in ignorance. You're born in a sorry society. It's all you know. So it's not like you're a demon. You're out, you know, opposed to the Lord. You don't even know the Lord. You're not opposed to Dharma. You don't even know Dharma. So they're considered innocent. But they're a demon, sorry. They're living in a sorry culture. But it's not their fault. They're just born into that. They don't know any different. Like us, we didn't know any different. All the things we were doing, nobody told us it was wrong. Nobody told us it was an eternity. Frankly speaking. So they're demoniac in as much as they follow the Asuric culture and mentality. But we can't call them demons because they're actually innocent. And that's the vast population, Prabhupada said. Most of them are innocent. And they're very happy to receive something nice. That's why Prabhupada was so heavy with the leaders, because they're purposely keeping people in darkness, purposely promoting this Asura culture. Yes?
Prabhupada said that
Well, that's where the fun begins. When you start to designate what is actually Dharma and what is not. That is when the fun begins. When you get all the religious people. Now we're gonna say what is Dharma. So then it's gonna be Shastra. So then you're gonna eliminate. But that's gonna be the fun time when you're gonna start to designate. And then it's gonna boil down to the ultimately to the persons and impersons. Then the fun is really gonna begin. Because they're both equipped with Shastra. They're both Vedic, they're both Shastra. Then the Upadhammas, they can go, they'll go by themselves. At least the ones which have, the major ones, which is only. But all the others, then you put them under help. You get their books, it's got spiritual health, this, something else, consciousness. You just get, put one category. Now, at least don't put spiritual. But they take a little. Someone gave me a whole package of their thing. They're quite active. I think it was the Brahma Kumaris. They're quite active. They're very active preaching. To give me a whole package like this. We like what you said. What we're saying is very much akin to what they're saying also. But they're impersonalists. They give you a little book on meditation and how they're going around. They're active preaching. James also. But then your ultimate meditation, you're meditating on a point. There's nothing outside of this room. Nothing else exists. Only me. I'm feeling peaceful, so peaceful. All these things are going, and I'm meditating that point of point, that single point from red rays are coming, and it's overwhelming me, and I'm thinking these elaborate thoughts, and they give you a whole list of positive thoughts to think of. And that's it. And then you stop your meditation, and you get about your normal day. But that's it. No one persons. Isn't this New Age? It's like Vedic New Age. Yeah, because you can find it somewhere and it's some scriptural thing there. Probably in Pantanjali. It's a little bit there, sir. But then what to do when you come out of that? Then social work, obviously. People are suffering, help them. Uplift them. Give them also this. How can they take it if they're hungry, so feed them? How can they take it if they're literate, so educate them? As my Prabhupada said, the Brahma Vadis, the Maya Vadis, so they attain Brahma, they give the whole world is false. You got Nitta, the whole world is false, they give it up, they become Brahman realized, then they come start and do altruistic work again. So why do they do that? It's no taste. It's actually no taste there. No bliss. It's just a little peace. You're free from the modes of nature. If you actually attain that position. They can't. You can't maintain that. There's no bliss there. There's no variety. How can you say there's bliss? They say Satchitananda is not. It's just a number. It's just existence. How can there be bliss if there's no suffering? How will you know what is bliss and what is not? There's nothing to relate to. Narada? Every soul is innocent. You're putting that environment because of your desires and your activities in the previous world. You've been misled in the last birth. You want the best. You want the best for yourself, and you perform activities to get that. And if they were Adamic activities, then you get a worse position. But you may have got your desires fulfilled, but the way you went about fulfilling your desires was, therefore you get a lower grade birth. The rules are there, you have to follow. If you act like this, you're Adamic, you get this type of body. If you're Dharmic, you get this type of body. Krishna is very fair, it's very open. You make a choice. The plants are there, the result is there. The result of following is there, the result of not following is also there. So it's up to them living it, but they're kept in ignorance. So the big demons, they're keeping everyone in ignorance. This religion is old-fashioned, it doesn't work, Kali Yuga. It's a restricting your freedom. Restricting your expression. So these are all these modern things I use just to fool the people. But it's, you still have that desire. Unless you're told about, you know, something spiritual, superior spiritual. Not just told. That's why the Christians are losing their denomination, because there's no real information. The spiritual world and the person. It's just like here. Actually, it's just like here. Society, friendship, and love. Why are we so attached to that? Because that's what's happening in the spiritual world. But there it's real. But naturally, that attraction is there. So they want to transport this there. Same bodies, same relatives, same relationships, but the same people. That's what they want, because they're identifying with the body. So you have to blame the leaders. Not just the government, the religious leaders also. That the congregation are ignorant. The government says, you have to follow religion, that's their job. You must be religious. What religion do you profess? Then it's up to the religions to preach, to tell their congregation, the Brahmins, the teachers in that particular region. But of course, then it will be done in the school, to educate everyone like that. So they're innocent, but they're ignorant also. So they're suffering because of their ignorance. They're not nasty people. They're just misled. Therefore they suffer. Nobody wants to become a dog or a mosquito. But somehow or other, there's plenty of mosquitoes around. There's plenty of space. So they're innocent, but they're ignorant. So they have to be educated. And then they make a choice. Once you're educated, then you make a choice, then you express your freedom of choice. Okay? Choose the right thing.